Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ12. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ12 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
On show 608, free parking for EV owners. Toyota are electrifying backwards and turning classic cars into EVs. Those stories and many more, including one that I teased at the top of yesterday's show, and then, as many of my listeners helpfully pointed out, thank you for that, I totally didn't get round to doing it. But we were running long yesterday, and yes, I'm making excuses. It's totally my fault. Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening. Wherever you're listening in the world, welcome to the show. If you are listening as the show is published, i.e. over the weekend, it's Saturday 12th of October today. Hopefully you're having a lovely weekend, whatever you're doing. My name is Martin Lee, and I go through every EV story that I can find to save you time. Maybe if you're browsing over the weekend and you are killing some time online, check out myev.com. They connect peer-to-peer, I believe is the phrase, buyers and sellers with the used plug-in vehicles in the USA and helping you learn more about them as well. And even if you are thinking about, what do we do warranty-wise, they can even help you out with that, myev.com. Okay, here we go. Let's kick off with the news today then. And we're talking Electrify Canada, a story that I talked about briefly a few days ago, but we can now add some more details to it. Volkswagen built Electrify America, its US multi-brand compatible network of EV charging stations, as part of a settlement which authorities there over its Dieselgate scandal. But now, if you go north of the border, the automaker has voluntarily expanded the effort to the Canadian arm Electrify Canada to give electric vehicle owners the same level of charging access, writes driving.ca. Well, Electrify Canada announced early October that it plans to open 20 of the ultra-fast HPCs, high-powered chargers. They're capable of charging at 350 kilowatts and opening them in Canadian Tire locations in Quebec, Ontario, British Columbia, and Alberta. Pricing is based on the charging speed. Pricing is based on 75 kilowatts, 125 kilowatts, or 350 kilowatts per minute of the power levels. Well, there's a $1 session fee per charge up, but an Electrify Canada Pass Plus is $4 a month. It waives the session fee and it knocks the cost down by 20 cents per minute. If you're in Canada and you've used any of these chargers yet, then please let me know. As far as I know, they are still only in the planning stages, but if any are up and running and I've missed anything, let me know. Now, keen followers of the podcast know that I drive the Renault Zoe, a small city car that just suits our needs perfectly. My wife loves it for her getting around local journeys. I find it good enough to do motorway journeys of up to 2 or 3 hours, couple of hundred miles range. It suits us. Big seller in France, not sold in the USA. With the standard Renault Clio already upon us, this is the brand new Clio. There's also a new Renault Zoe as well, and they share a very similar interior. You might be wondering when we'll first see the new hot hatch, the Renault Clio RS, a legendary couple of letters, Renault Sport. As our sister title Auto Express discovered, say Evo magazine, it seems we won't see a new hot hatch, a new Renault Sport RS anytime soon, but Renault does have something sporty up its sleeve, according to evo.co.uk. Renault's Executive Vice President of Product Planning is Ali Kazai, and he told Auto Express that a new Clio RS is simply not viable. I think it's all to do with emissions, you see. But that a performance-oriented, all-electric Renault Zoe is the most likely model to sit in its place, Kazai said. And I quote, "We need to be in line with current trends. We have to invent the future. Sporty cars," end quote. Well, the standard Zoe is powered by a 52 kilowatt hour battery. It's got a front mounted motor, 132 brake horsepower. It's got CCS DC fast charging up to 50 kilowatts. It's good for 245 miles, but I'm sure those with a light right foot can get even more. A performance variant would naturally claim less range, because what the Renault Zoe has done in this third incarnation of it, it charges at 22 kilowatts on the AC fast charger, 52 kilowatts DC fast charging with a CCS combo plug, and it's very, very popular in France. France's number one EV, Europe's number one EV, most recently stealing that crown from what was always the monthly biggest seller, which was the Leaf. And the car hasn't really changed very much since its first introduction in 2011, I'm going to guess. I haven't looked that stat up. But the first one had 22 kilowatt hour battery. The next one had the one that I've got, a 41 kilowatt hour battery. And I've seen the battery pack taken out of a car. I've been up to my mate Will. Now, Will Adams, who has DSG, the car dealers in Morecambe, in the north of England, he has a big workshop there, and they have electric experts, or Renault ZE, they call it ZE Zero Emissions, but they have the ZE techs, the experts up there, and they know better than most how to fix Renault Zoes and electric Renaults. And they actually had, last time I went up there, they had one of the battery packs out and on the bench, and as you can imagine, there's all the different safety things involved as well, so I couldn't actually, you know, get up close and touch it and all those kind of things, because they have a special, like even like a special unit that it has to sit on. But I was able to have a look at it, and it was much, much smaller than I thought. I thought the battery pack was kind of the size of the space between the wheels, you know, front and back, but it wasn't, much smaller than that. But this battery pack size on the new Renault Zoe has got the 52 kilowatt hours of LG Chem cells, I believe, squeezed into it. So in exactly the same dimensions, over 7 or 8 years, they have squeezed in more capacity. The batteries have become more efficient. They've become better at packaging them as well. And so clearly, if you have a Zoe RS, Renault Sport, it's not going to have a bigger battery than 52 kilowatt hour. Well, that's not clear, but it's my assumption, because that's the space they work with. So you would think the range would be less. A performance variant, though, we'd probably have a dual motor, all-wheel drive setup. The Clio RS, the kind of the hot hatch thing. Is it more of a European thing? If my US listeners can let me know about this. Do you have those kind of really fast, sporty city cars as a heritage there? Did you go big on the Golf GTI when it was first launched? What was that, 70s, early 80s? Anyway, the kind of that type of car we really love. I think it would do really interesting sales. Would you trade off range for a car that was four-wheel drive, that was lower, that was sportier, that was moulded in the GTI trim? I'm tempted. I'm tempted, because it would go like stink. And how much range do you need anyway? Okay, let me know your thoughts on any of the stories on this podcast anytime you want to. My email is hello@evnewsdaily.com. Okay, let's moving on to a contentious story, and one that I'm not going to say is true, but I'm going to give you the website that reported it, and I'm going to give you a really big dose of caution on this one. The website is dinside.no, or dinside.no, dinside.no, and it's written in Norwegian, so I've used Google Translate, so apologies for this story being maybe slightly not in the best English. Last week, they say, we wrote that Kia in Spain has been revealed to refuse dealers to sell electric cars for the rest of 2019, with a strong call to sell gasoline and diesel powered SUVs before replacing the calendar on January 1. Cute turn of phrase there, replacing the calendar. In other words, before the new year. That's kind of Google Translate's best effort. Well, just like the Norwegian importer, the Kia importer in Sweden has denied that it is the case in those countries. However, the Swedish electric car website Recharge, they've claimed that Kia Sweden is not being completely truthful. So, I've not seen Kia's statement on this at all, and I'm of course not calling Kia liars on this, but the website says they sent a similar letter to their dealers in Sweden as the ones that were sent in Spain. And if you believe the Recharge website, in the letter, Kia writes, among other things, that they are looking forward to having a fantastic start to an electrified year, 2020, according to the Recharge website and quoted by dinside.no. Well, there's a freelance importer in Norway of Kias. His name is Bertil Steen, and I got a quote. It says this, and I quote, "We have no comment on the case in Sweden and Spain, but we do not have similar orders here in Norway, and we deliver the cars we get," explains Mette. In Norway, according to Kia, about 5,700 are on the reservation lists for the two electric cars they make. That's 4,400 people in Norway wanting and waiting for the Kia e-Niro, and 1,300 people wanting and waiting for the Kia e-Soul. I'm going to pop a link in the show notes if you want to read this for yourself. I think it's quite an accusation as well, but the accusation they're making is that Kia is writing to their dealers in European countries to say, do not sell electric cars. Well, even if they could get hold of them. In other words, they could just restrict access to EVs. So when I was looking at buying a Kia e-Niro, or actually the Hyundai Kona as well, both of them very quickly, when they went on sale last year, both of them very quickly got to 12-month waiting lists. And at that point, they stopped you pre-ordering, and then you went onto like a reservation list, a secondary list. That, at the time, struck me as slightly strange. When we looked into it, so many people said the problem was availability of cells and batteries. It seems strange that they would launch a car and then so quickly the waiting list would go to 12 months. There is a cynical side of me that thought that 12 months wasn't true, but they were erring on the side of caution. And actually, if you really want a car right now, well, look, we can't sell you this electric one, but we've got these plug-in hybrids or even hybrids or even combustion cars. So that side of me did think, oh, maybe if you ordered it, when it said 12 months, if you ordered it, would you get it in 8 or 9 months? Would you get it quicker? And even now, the waiting lists are very long. And even now, there is a cynical part of me that thinks, come the 1st of January, and just a reminder, come the 1st of January, there are very strict new emissions laws starting here in Europe, whether a lot of these car companies will all of a sudden go, oh, look, we found some electric cars to sell. Good news, the waiting list is no longer a year, it's 3 months or something. I don't know, I'm just kind of guessing here. But certainly this website has made, well, it's got a stiff accusation against Kia that they say they're claiming that they've told their dealers not to sell EVs. I mean, I'm sure the dealers would love to be selling EVs. You simply can't get them. So maybe the whole point is moot anyway. An interesting point that comes right back round full circle on the point that I make all the time. EVs are supply constrained. Okay, the sales numbers for EVs aren't setting the world alight in some countries, but equally, people want them, they just can't buy them. And come the 1st of January, I think we may, I don't know, quote me on the 1st of January and say, "Eh, you were wrong in October." I think come next year, all of a sudden, it won't be the floodgates opening, but I certainly don't think the waiting lists will be 12 months anymore. Anyway, maybe I'm a naturally cynical person. Let's talk Lexus, Toyota's luxury division. They say that a new zero emissions concept car, a show car, is a window into their electric and autonomous future. So the new vehicle that they've shown off in these pictures, it doesn't have a combustion engine, it's pure electric. But equally, it may not have a steering wheel either, and then you know we are purely in concept car fantasy territory. According to Motor1.com, the concept, which was announced back in July, the unnamed electric concept will feature a newly developed infotainment system, dual screens, a revamped version of the Lexus grille. Chances are that the EV rides on their new platform that Toyota's developing, the eTNGA platform. The ultimate goal, they say, is 10 electric cars from both brands by 2025. Gonna be shown off ahead of the Tokyo Motor Show debut in some more pictures soon. But you gotta say, whilst everyone else is making EVs, and admittedly coming back to our last story, maybe you can't exactly buy them at the moment because some of them are supply constrained, we are long, long past the point of showing off concept cars that are 6 years away going, hey, this is what we think we'd do with an electric car. Come on, Lexus and Toyota, you can do better. I'm going to come back to Toyota at the end of the show, by the way, with some news about their battery cars. But that's your Lexus story. Now, a story that will be great news for anyone listening in Ohio. Cincinnati has come up with a creative incentive for those who own EVs. Free parking. And for those who have played Monopoly, landing on the free parking square would normally meant that you got to cash in for some reason. EV owners in Cincinnati can now cash in on savings thanks to the city's electric car incentive program, according to Clean Technica. That's the hybrid owners are not happy, though, because hybrids not benefiting from this incentive scheme because, well, they have combustion engines inside them. Now, Jonah at Clean Technica says the free parking spots include all city parking meters and one city-owned garage located downtown. The parking in the garage is first come, first served, doesn't include overnight privileges, and it includes free parking at every and any parking meter within Cincinnati city limits. Parking at the meters means drivers are still going to follow the parking rules, though, and if the meter says you only have 1 hour, even EV drivers only have 1 hour, but you get to do it for free. And I'll pop a link to Clean Technica in the show notes. Here in the UK, the government's Transport Committee has confirmed it wants to start a debate around road pricing, more specifically the idea of pay as you go, and that is designed to start to fill a hole in a £40 billion black hole in the vehicle excise duty income line on their budget sheet. Now, some people call it road tax, but it's not. Road tax hasn't existed since the 1930s. It's technically known as VED. Vehicle excise duty, and it's an annual fee that you have to pay based on the emissions of your car in this country. And guess what? EV owners don't have to pay. You still have to apply, though. If you're an EV owner in the UK, you still get sent a letter every year saying you need to get your VED. It's going to cost you £0. And so you fill out the form and you go, okay, here's my £0, and you send it off, and they say, thank you for sending us £0. Your car is now compliant. It's a bit of a hoopla, but it's just a bit of a form-filling exercise. Everyone else, of course, has to pay hundreds of pounds. As the rise of electric cars accelerate over the coming years, the government's going to start losing more and more money. EVs with a list price of less than £40,000 don't pay VED, which results in a sharp drop in tax income for the government. One way around it is to adjust the system with road pricing. Now, you could either start charging EVs or go around it another way and charge people per use. Early next year, the Transport Committee will start to investigate whether national road pricing could be part of the future. And the public, drivers and non-drivers, are asked to join in the discussion now. I'll pop a link to leasing.com in the show notes where I found that story. And what do you think of the idea as pay-as-you-go road pricing? Will it mean that they have to put a black box in your car? And the government will eventually, I guess de facto, if they are monitoring how many miles you're driving, know where and when you've been and how comfortable are you with that? If it was some sort of annual survey where you, because we have the MOT annually in this country, so it goes to the garage and they sign it off to say the car is roadworthy. If it was done then, well, I wouldn't mind so much. If it was an annual thing where all of a sudden they said you've driven 10,000 miles this year, now you owe this much, I could kind of get that. If it's a pay-as-you-go system that is, there's a black box in your boot and we monitor via GPS how many miles you've driven, but hey, we promise not to tell anybody where you've been. Well, I'm less comfortable with that. Again, call me cynical, but I don't trust the government to protect my personal data of where and when I've been. That strays into kind of a personal freedom and liberty territory that I'm just not comfortable with. How about you? Am I being oversensitive? Let me know your thoughts anytime. Right, I did mention Toyota. They teased yesterday that what is going to become the new RAV4 in 2021 is the RAV4 plug-in hybrid. Brings a new colour, supersonic red, and the teaser image of the RAV4 we saw is a plug-in hybrid with electric performance capabilities. According to Electric Cars Report, they're going to debut the RAV4 plug-in during the Los Angeles Auto Show, during the media days, November 20th in just over a month's time in the South Hall at Los Angeles Convention Center. And in many ways, Toyota are doing electric cars backwards. Toyota had some really good thinking with pure EVs many, many years ago. There was an all-electric RAV4. Not a bad little car. Now they're announcing the plug-in hybrid. It seems like they're doing it in the wrong way, like the opposite direction to everybody else. However, you know, a Toyota with a plug, I guess we have to applaud it. They also announced today that they're going to extend the battery warranty for their hybrid and electric vehicles to 10 years, or 150,000 miles, whichever comes first. An increase from the current 8 years, or 100,000 miles. Well, the change is going to be affecting hybrids, plug-in hybrids, and fuel cell cars sold by Toyota, and they can transfer from owner to owner, says Car and Driver. There are 8 eligible cars in the lineup so far: the hybrid Camry, Corolla, Prius, RAV4, Avalon, and Highlander hybrids, plus the Prius Prime, that's a plug-in car, and the Mirai fuel cell vehicle. Toyota says the longer warranty term is designed to help overcome the hesitation that some buyers, they say, feel towards purchasing a hybrid or electric car. Nissan has said they expect the Leaf batteries. Now, they've got all the data on the batteries since 2011 again, maybe, to last up to 12 years longer than customers even want to own the cars. The batteries just keep going and going. For the most part, yes, don't complain. I know there have been some Leaf owners who have been very, very unhappy with their Nissan batteries. And Tesla, well, you can't ignore the million-mile battery. I'll pop a link to Car and Driver in the show notes. And the final story, no, we can squeeze in 2 more, I reckon. Penultimate story today. Plans to redevelop a former service station on a main road here in the UK, the A1 in Peterborough. They want to transform what used to be a petrol station into an EV charging point and a cafe. Now, plans have been fully submitted to the local council, says the local newspaper, the Peterborough Today. Solar Charging Limited is the company that wants to revamp what was the Abbotswood service station. It lies on the southbound carriageway near Wittering. Their plans are for a 20 EV point charging station. So that is for a electric car charging network with 20 chargers under a big canopy, a service building with a cafe and lots of things that you'll need to relax while you're charging for 10-20 minutes. The electric is going to come from a nearby solar farm, a process the company said would be the first of its kind within the region and would seek to reflect the aspirations of the local agenda. I'll pop a link to the local newspaper that I found that in the show notes, but I wanted to bring that to you because, not because, well, of course, if you're a listener in Peterborough, firstly, double thumbs up, let's hope it happens, but because all around the world, petrol stations, I think actually generally, in many places, petrol stations have been closing down. You get so many of them that now crop up as car wash stations. But many of them have fallen into disrepair or have become derelict. But many of them are on land, even ones that are still serving petrol. Many of them are on land that are quite valuable, in quite convenient places. In many built-up areas, petrol stations occupy land that would otherwise be a high-rise block, would be very valuable to developers, if you know what I mean. If we can protect that land within built-up urban areas and convert that sensitively from petrol stations to high-powered charging stations, where you have maybe 10 or 15 or 20 of these, because you can get them, you can pack them in tighter, you can make the best of the space, you haven't got to have them as, you know, you get to a petrol station, it might have 4, 6, 8, 12 pumps maybe, but you can get 20 or 25 EV chargers. They're smaller. You haven't got to have as much room for the cars moving around. All you've got to do is park up and charge for 10 or 20 minutes. For those that don't have parking at home or live in apartments, I think it's a really important consideration. Finally, Luna's Design is converting high-end classic cars to electric propulsion, using a team of engineers gathered from Formula One, Aston Martin, Ferrari, Jaguar, VW and McLaren. And zero emissions and recycling are at the heart of their philosophy, says Renewable Energy magazine. The aim is to make the most beautiful and celebrated cars in history ready for an electric future. There's a 1961 eight-seat Rolls-Royce Phantom, a 1953 Jaguar XK120, a 1956 Rolls-Royce Cloud, and they're all currently being prepared to be sold as pure electric cars. Well, the Jaguar XK120, that has an 80 kilowatt hour electric battery pack. The Rolls-Royce Phantom has a 120 kilowatt hour power pack. Each classic prepared by the company, Lunas, represents a custom job. The cars are analysed to ensure that the engineers are developing the most appropriate solutions, and then when they have them, they put in fast charging, regen braking, and sensitive integration of modern conveniences like traction control, cruise control, all the benefits that you would want, but still, when you get inside the car, feels like you're driving a car from the 1950s or 60s. I think it's a wonderful way to keep some beautiful pieces of design, what is automotive heritage, on the road, being enjoyed by the people driving them, and almost as much as the people looking at the cars coming past them as well. I love classic cars. And I did say recently on the podcast, and by the way, I got a bit of stick online, I can see a future where we are 99% electrified, but there is still people who have classic cars in their garage, and they go out and enjoy it on a sunny day at the weekend, and who cares if we're burning some petrol, if we still get to enjoy beautiful cars. And people said to me, no, you're wrong, you're absolutely wrong, we should be aiming for 100% electrification. All right, so maybe I didn't hit the mark on that one with all of my listeners, but this is great for those that do want classic cars, but do want to drive on electric power. Well, look, I haven't got any prices here, and they aren't going to be cheap, but I think it's a wonderful thing. Congratulations to the guys doing that. Hey, I've got time for just a... Have I got time? Yeah, go on then. I'm going to squeeze some more in. There was a tweet by Moneyball. Name is D. Curric, or D-K-U-R-A-C is his Twitter name. And this is the tweet. Skywell delivers the first batch of Shenzhen's largest EV dump trucks so far, as it delivers 300 to the city. Last year, Shenzhen started subsidising EV dump trucks with a big incentive package. The city wants to have all new dump trucks by 2021 as electric vehicles. Now, Shenzhen, we know, all the buses, all the public buses are EV. All the cabs are going to be EV by the end of this year. And now, Shenzhen's not stopping there. They're looking at vehicles that help build big industrial trucks. You know what a dump truck is, that carries rocks in the back of it. They want all dump trucks to be EV, and I'm sure they're not going to stop there. Hey, but I will stop the podcast there. Thank you for your attention, your time. I value it. I know you're busy. Hopefully, once again today, I've given you the EV stories that give you as much hope. If you like me, I'm just pumped about hearing this news every day. This is so positive, so brilliant, such an antidote to the negativity that seems to be infesting our politics, our economics, our social media. And it's the little 20 minutes that I get to spend talking about just a ton of positive stuff every single day. Little positivity boost. I love doing this, and thank you for listening. Our question of the week this week with MyEV.com: what segment of vehicles is the most important to electrify? Let me know. Email hello at evnewsdaily.com, or leave a comment on my blog at evnewsdaily.com, or Facebook and YouTube comments. Well, thank you to 256 patrons of the podcast, whose sheer generosity means that I get to have this much fun every single day. Thank you. You guys rock. You're going to check out what it's all about, and you can add your name to the list. It's patreon.com/EVNewsDaily. My premium partners are Phil Roberts, Brad Crosby, and Avid Technology. There are 607 previous shows in the archive. Get all the new ones first and free and automatically, though, by hitting subscribe in your podcast app. Have a wonderful weekend if you are listening to this on Saturday, Sunday. I'll catch you soon. And remember, there's no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments. River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.